Oh, this year's absolutely flown by, hasn't it? I know I keep harping on it, but it's already late August. Father's Day is just around the corner. Then before you know it, we'll be hearing Christmas carols in the supermarkets and shopping centres. Well, fingers crossed that is, depending on how social distancing requirements progress. And I guess that's probably the first and last time I've ever got my fingers crossed that we can hear some Christmas carols. But as we do head into the warmer months, a lot of us might do some spring cleaning, possibly a little cull of our winter wardrobe. Charitable organisations made some news a little while ago about how they simply could not kind of take in or keep up with the amount of clothing donations. And while it's easy and compassionate to take your old clothes to Vinnie's, etc., what is it that you do with old socks, undies and the like? We're joined this morning by CEO, the Chief Executive Officer of NACRO, the National Association of Charitable Recycling Organisations, Omar Soker. Omar, how's it going?
Yeah, I'm very good. Thank you very much indeed for the invitation, Jared. Appreciate it.
No, I appreciate your time. It's good. Run us through a little bit about what kind of NACRO does on a day-to-day.
Yeah, cool. I will do. But firstly, a huge thank you. Look, the charities couldn't operate without the wonderful generosity of Australians. So, you know, people like your listeners are so important. So we, first and foremost, I must just thank you for those quality donations. What NACRO does is we kind of advocate on behalf of all of the charitable recyclers, Salvos, Vinnies, Red Cross, Save the Children, Lifeline, and dozens more. So we'd like to send a message of thank you. We still need donations. We would love quality pre-owned items that are in good condition, you know, stuff that still sparks joy. Mm-hmm. So we're really, really looking for a continuation of those donations, but really just stuff that's still in good nick, if that makes Jared, yeah? Because that's the stuff we can use. That's the stuff we can sell in our charity shops and raise money for vulnerable Australians. So it's really the quality stuff that that really helps us.
Absolutely. I read kind of on the webpage and a little bit of research that NACRO, you do put a little bit of emphasis on, I guess, turning these charitable organisations into successful kind of retailers, maybe, yeah, for lack of a better term. Is, yeah, that kind of, I guess, any, I don't want to use the term profit because they are charities, but is that, yeah, going to, is that reinvested then into kind of other efforts of theirs?
Yeah, exactly. So really the charity shops are the economic engines for a lot of the charities. So the revenue, mm-hmm, raised goes straight back into social welfare programs to help vulnerable communities. I think we raise about $550 million of revenue. I mean, obviously, there's some costs involved in that, but those proceeds go into everything from homelessness to mental health to just crisis management, you name it. There are just so many causes out there. So, yes, the revenue, that's the whole reason that they operate. Plus, mm-hmm, of course, some of those items actually go as donations to those in need as well. So it's an important service. It also keeps the stuff out of landfill. And environmentally, there's a massive impact as well. I think we divert something like 630,000 tons away from landfill every year. So there's environmental impact, a social impact, and an economic impact. So when you donate to a charitable recycler, you're doing good on multiple levels.
Fantastic. That's good. It's such a great initiative. Do you want to tell us a little bit about the Zero Waste Network Australia that NACRO is kind of heavily involved in or an associate to?
Yeah, cool. So Zero Waste Network, so I grew up kind of alongside NACRO as a separate organisation. We found we had the same objectives. NACRO had more of those traditional long-time charity shops, and Zero Waste had more of those new, funky social enterprises with new ideas doing cool stuff on,
gotcha,
on local level. So bring the two together, you get the big charities, but you also get the modern thinking. So it's a good mix to make sure that we continuously improve, get better at what we do, keep those resources out of landfill, and keep supporting good causes in Australia.
Absolutely. Do you want to tell us, I guess, as the National Association, you would have had a fair idea, how did, charitable retailers work with used clothing over the last couple, over the last couple of months? It must have added, oof, any amount of kind of extra elements, yeah, of cleanliness and et cetera. How was this addressed?
Well, I think the COVID has affected just so many people in so many challenging ways. Charities are just one part of it. Many shops closed on the first wave. Second wave in Melbourne, they're still closed there. I think we worked out there's probably something like $90 million of income that didn't come in. So that's $90 million that didn't go through to those people in need during that time. Pre-COVID, And during COVID, there was lots of things like quarantining products just to make sure that the virus is not to continue. There's COVID-safe retail operations. So they've had to transform all of their operations, COVID-safe operations. And I think this is, I think, a necessity for all retailers. There was a build-up of stuff. There was a bit of dumping initially. People sort of dumping stuff that we couldn't use, but the media got onto that really quickly, and it was like we can't use this stuff. You know, if it's broken, soiled, worn out, charities can't use it. And I think thank you to a lot of media that sort of got the message, and I think Australians begin to understand that we can't repair stuff. It's really the quality stuff that helps. The other stuff really is a burden. So if you wouldn't give it to a friend, don't give it to charity, I think is the message there. But we're coming back. Charity shop sales are doing pretty well, actually. I think people want to make an environmental impact. There's also, unfortunately, you know, many people who have lost their jobs who are doing it tough. And I think the secondhand stores are an opportunity for them to, you know, to be able to stock up and buy stuff. But there's some good stuff because we've had a build-up, but we still need donations because this is not a one-week operation. This is a forever operation. So please keep the donations coming. And stuff that's got quality that we can use.
Absolutely. To that point that you were saying a little bit prior about how you can't accept broken things, or like you said, if you wouldn't give it to a friend, don't take it to kind of one of these charity organisations.
Yeah.
What do you do? Like, I know, speaking on my behalf, this was last week, and it was the catalyst in me getting in contact with you guys. I had a surplus of old socks, old undies, and stuff like that obviously I'm not just going to throw in the bin. So what's the most responsible way to get rid of that? Because I can only imagine your Vinnies, your Salvos, you're alike, don't want to be accepting old socks and undies. What do we do with them?
Yeah, exactly. Look, I think the reality is that we still need more infrastructure in textile recycling to be able to break down those fibres and reuse them. Mm-hmm. So at the moment, there is not a good solution to stuff for old undies, right? That still is not a viable thing in Australia to recycle them and break down the fibres. However, look, there's some good stuff happening from the federal government. They're launching lots of new infrastructure projects to boost recycling in Australia. There's an application for a product stewardship scheme that we've just submitted on this last Friday for a product stewardship scheme on clothes, which would be an end-of-life usage for that. So we can actually have a bit of a policy around clothes. So it's coming. But unfortunately, and you know, many people wouldn't want to hear this, there is no solution to dirty undies at the moment. You know, down the track with more infrastructure, we will be able to break down fibres and then recreate new products for a circular economy, but the economics of that are still a little bit behind. So there's a way to go on that one, unfortunately, Jared. So there is no solution at the moment, but we're working on the technologies that would make it economically feasible to break down those garments and move it forward. The longer-term solution is also to encourage brands to make really good quality textile items. They can make it purely from cotton or purely from another item. It makes it easier to recycle. It's very difficult to recycle stuff that's all mixed.
Yep.
So the better quality that brands can design, the easier it is to recycle, the longer that they last. So it's really a question of moving beyond fast fashion and creating some good quality garments that can last and then can be recycled down the track.
Absolutely.
But in the moment, we don't need the dirty undies here.
So. No, that's fine. I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, but 100% cotton, assuming kind of brands, like you said, might go down that track. That's organic matter, and you can even put it in your compost and such, can't you?
I think it's potentially, look, I think it's
the jury's
potentially,
out.
Potentially, yeah. I'm not an expert in composting. I think it varies. So, let me take a rain check on that one,
Fair enough. Thanks so much for joining the show today. I mean, we do have to move on.
Appreciate
your time.
All right, thanks, Roger. Have a great day. Bye.
You too.